this episode of the Naturist Living Show, Mexico.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
Welcome, dear listener, to episode 91 of the Naturist Living Show. My name is Stéphane Deschaines. I'm your host for this podcast and the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And it's been a few weeks. Actually, it's been a few months because it's been fairly busy as usual. And then for a couple of weeks, I had a cold in addition to all the travel I was doing. For the last 2 weeks, I couldn't really record anything because my voice was way off. But we're back at it. First off, we have a comment. An audio comment. I got an email from Neil with some interesting thoughts and observations. And I said, well, I could read it all, but could you record it into a message? Just dial a show, a phone number, and record it for me so we can play it on the show. And he did. So here you go.
Hey, Stefan. This is Neil Orlick. Just wanted to call and say how much my wife and I have enjoyed listening to your podcast. We have been listening for several months now, though we're not naturists, at least not yet. We do find the naturist philosophy consistent with our own beliefs. I've especially enjoyed the episodes on Christianity and clothing optional policies. As a Christian, I've investigated the Bible after listening to your podcast with Tom Pine, and I've actually found no conflict with the scriptures. I've since subscribed to Tom's newsletter and enjoy reading the articles and feedback from other naturists. I also completely agree with your take on clothing optional policies. In fact, as I noted to Tom in an email, this is my wife and I's biggest fear in going to a naturist resort, actually being outnumbered by clothed naturists. In my case, my wife is the one who actually suggested the naturist activities, so I guess you could say that I was the reluctant spouse in this case. But your podcast has certainly helped to correct any misconceptions that I've had regarding naturism. You present the philosophy in a clear and logical manner. I also found your podcast easy to listen to, educational, and entertaining all at the same time. Anyway, thank you again for your hard work, and just know that your audience consists not only of the dedicated naturists, but potential converts. Thanks. Take care.
That's great. Thank you, Neil. And as you're listening, you can also send a comment into the show. I'll give you the phone number at the end, or it's on the show website. But let's get back to the theme of this particular episode, Mexico. Mexico was a beautiful, hot place that seems ideal for naturism. But there hasn't been as much naturism other than tourism naturism. There's been a few destinations that mostly are frequented by North Americans. But until recently, there was no federation. But while I was on the board of the International Naturist Federation, the new Mexican Federation joined. And I was then contacted by a young man by the name of Hector Martinez, who started his own group, a little independently on his own, as you'll hear, and then started discovering this whole world out there. So we started chatting. We talked on the phone. I gave him some advice. He asked a lot of questions. And we got to be friends, and hopefully we'll get to meet in person soon. But we've certainly exchanged a lot of thoughts and ideas and shared a lot over social media and the phone. So I thought it was only appropriate that I'd ask him to tell us a little bit more about what naturism is like in Mexico.
My name is Hector Martinez. I am from Guadalajara, Mexico. And I am the leader and founder of a local group that we're starting, or that we started 6 months ago. And today I plan on talking about nudism or naturism in Mexico, Guadalajara, and so on.
And what's the name of your group?
So the group's name is in Spanish. The original name is Naturaleza and Nudismo Guadalajara, which is translated to Nature and Nudism Guadalajara.
Okay. And so is it a landed club or a non-landed club?
No, it's actually a group or organization that we're building. We do meet mainly at my apartment, but we don't really have a club or anything like that.
Okay, and you have events?
Well, we have naked yoga classes. We have a monthly event where we go eat at a restaurant downtown. We have a monthly event where we go and drink coffee at a coffee shop that belongs to some of our members. We sometimes go to Temazcales, their Mesoamerican steam baths. There are a lot of different activities going on. For example, we celebrate Christmas. We do Valentine's Day. We do Halloween.
And so what motivated you to start this club? How did that happen?
Ooh, well, that's a good question. It all started it was something I was never actually planning on doing. It was a coincidence that I found out by reading the newspaper one day that there was going to be this big manifestation or protest. I'm not sure what would be the appropriate translation. This is actually an international event. It's called the World Naked Bike Ride. And it started in Guadalajara in 2010. And I found out about it maybe in 2014. So at first it was just I was very curious about what was going on. I had never experienced anything like this. So I decided to go. And my experience was just wonderful. I mean, I was having such a good time that I forgot completely that I was naked until the end of the event. Everyone started dressing. So I remembered I was naked. And I don't know, I just really felt so happy and really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the freedom. And I enjoyed that everyone else was naked and no one seemed to bother. There wasn't anything going on. So I thought that was very special. And then after that, I found out that there was really nothing else I could do naked in the city and that I had to wait an entire year to have a naked social event. So that's one of my main motivations of starting something.
So was it difficult for you to do that? I mean, you had no experience with public nudity, naturism, or anything like that before, right?
No, none whatsoever. So I was never really an introverted person never really shy or aware of my body in a negative way. So I guess the idea was just fascinating. And then I remember it was difficult to take off my underwear in public 5 minutes before. I got a little nervous and I got a little red and started feeling the adrenaline. But once I put my underwear down, I noticed that no one cared and I felt comfortable.
Wow. And you did that all by yourself?
Yeah, that's pretty
good.
Much.
That's good. Now, I know you have a girlfriend now. Did you at the time?
No, it's actually a funny coincidence because the day I decided to participate, I asked a friend, Andrea, if she could paint my face because I wanted to remain anonymous. And so she went to the World Naked Bike Ride. She didn't feel comfortable undressing in person or in public. So she remained dressed, but she went through the entire bike ride. And then, you know, as I started to evolve in the idea, I found this Mesoamerican steam bath called Temazcal that I mentioned before. And I invited her and we started going together. This was before we started dating. We started dating maybe a couple of months after we started practicing naturism together.
So, and you asked her to come and paint you because you were going to run around naked on a bike. Did she think you're a little weird?
Well, I don't know if maybe she already had that impression. She already thought I was a little crazy. So I'm not sure if the idea was new to her, but maybe it was a pretty good sign that she was probably right.
Yeah, well, and obviously it didn't turn her away because it brought you guys closer together.
Yeah, so I think what I really found special is that she was so open to the experience. She wasn't open to undressing in public, but she was okay with going to a place where people were going to undress. She was okay with painting me. And then when we started going to the steam bath, it was clothing optional, and she was okay with the entire idea, and she felt so comfortable that she decided to participate. So I thought that that was really cool, and I think that somehow brought us together.
Oh, that's good. So now I should ask on behalf of the listeners, you don't sound Mexican in any way. You have almost no accent, or really you don't have an accent. Depends which part of North America you might be from. Why is your English so good?
Another good question. In 1994, 1995, due to a big economical crisis that happened here in Mexico, my parents were forced to immigrate to the U.S. So I grew up from age 4 to age 12 in the States, and you could say that English is my first language. When I was 12, I came back, and I had to relearn Spanish.
Oh, so do you have an accent in Spanish?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, that's wonderful to be able to speak both languages so perfectly.
So it is, and it definitely helps out in something like naturism that isn't very familiar in the Spanish-speaking countries. It's more common in the English-speaking countries.
Yes, and you know, right or wrong, English has become the international language. French, as you know, is my first language, but if I did not know English, I would have trouble going from place to place and in between. You can always seem to find somebody who can speak English everywhere you go.
I agree.
So in those 2-3 years since you first experienced the World Naked Bike Ride, you've gone full tilt, started a club, and then have you learned a lot about naturism in Mexico as well?
Well, yeah, it's been an interesting challenge. At first, my first challenge was to find a place where we can enjoy naturism. We were very lucky to get in contact with the National Federation, Mexican National Federation, and they contacted us with this person that runs the Temazcales, and we started going with him. He was very cool. It was strange at first because I felt like I was looking for an underground activity, because it's not something that you find online or anything. You have to be contacted through someone else. Mm-hmm. And he turned out to be very cool. And the vibe and the people that were going there was just awesome. So we hanged out there for about a year. And as we were going to each event, we were meeting new people, and we would have very good chats with these people. And it occurred to us that we could do other type of activities. The Temazcal was great, but eventually we wanted to do other types of things. And that's how the first group started.
What is the state of naturism in Mexico? Do most Mexicans know it's a possibility, a movement? Is it something you have to be careful of because you might be arrested? What's the state? I mean, if you're doing the World Naked Bike Ride in the middle of a city, obviously there must be some level of tolerance, right?
Yeah, it was actually very interesting because the organizers of the World Naked Bike Ride here locally at first had a pretty big problem with the government. They said that they were going to arrest people if they were naked. So there was like zero tolerance. But I don't know how they were able to convince the authority of allowing them to do it during a manifestation or during a protest. And I think the law allows nudity when it has to do with a protest. And each year, I mean, it's been going on for 6 years now. I think this is the 7th edition in 2017. And it becomes more and more normal. People become more open about it. But it's not tolerated. For example, if I decide to go downstairs and purchase some milk at the store naked, I will most likely get arrested.
Mm-hmm. As you probably would in most countries. What about beaches? Are there any beaches where nudity is accepted?
There's actually officially only one, and it would be the beach of Zipolite, Oaxaca, which curiously last year because of the Elan, that would be the Latin America encounter, if I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in 16, they were able to convince the local authorities to declare Sipolite as the first nude optional or nudist optional beach in Mexico. It's actually the only one, and it's the only one that tolerates nudity openly. Other beaches, for example, if they're small beaches where no one hangs around, well, you could skinny dip, but it's very uncommon. There's also a couple of resorts and private beaches and areas where it's tolerated, but it's not open to the public. It's very exclusive. Some are only for couples and things like that.
Yeah, people outside of Mexico and who are listening to the show are probably familiar with some of the resorts, as a few of them, but they tend to seem to be oriented towards outsiders and visitors more than Mexican themselves.
Yes, they tend to be pretty expensive, so they're pretty much out of the reach of the average Mexican.
So there's no clubs for run by locals for locals?
There's a couple of those resorts that you mentioned that you can also participate if you're a local. But as I mentioned, the prices tend to be in dollars or euros, and it tends to be pretty expensive. So unless someone that has a good enough income, they probably won't go there. There's not a whole lot of options. There is a lot of local little groups, but they're pretty underground. So they're not, it's hard to find them. It's sort of like you have to somehow go into the world of naturism in order to find out that there's local groups, but they're not very, open about it.
So are they underground because there's questionable legality?
Not necessarily. So law in Mexico doesn't really, there is no law against social nudity. The laws that are mainly state laws, because they're not federal laws, the state laws are morally based. So the argument behind it is that the naked body is associated with sexuality. So it could be public indecency if you're walking down the street naked or if you're at a public place naked. But there is no law that prohibits people from hanging around naked or renting a pool or any other activities that you could do behind closed doors.
So then why the fact that they're sort of underground and difficult to find?
I think it has to do with the fear of being socially judged. So many naturist nudists here in Mexico are very shy about it. I would call them closet naturists. So only the people in the naturist world know that they're naturists, but their family, their friends, sometimes even their couples, their significant others, are not aware of them being naturist.
And that's a societal attitude. So what is, do you think that's an accurate, it's a fear. Do you think it's well-founded? Do you think people would judge you? Do you think you might lose your job?
Well, in my personal experience, I think the personal judgment that a person has over themselves is much stronger than social judgment or judgment that a family member or a friend can have. I think that when you're very open about it and you're very convinced and you have the reasons and the arguments behind why you've decided to live a naturist life or to enjoy naturism, there's not really much that they could say against it. So I think that you're afraid of someone judging you, it's because you've already judged yourself and because you're probably not convinced or you probably don't feel as ready to talk about it than their actual negative reaction behind it. So in my case, my family, my friends, Facebook, everyone around me is aware of me being a naturist, and I haven't had any negative comments regarding it, because every question they have, I try to answer to the best of my abilities.
That's good. Is Andrea equally open about it?
Yes. Well, Andrea, her family and her friends know that she's a naturist, but it's not something that she likes to post on Facebook or things like that. So she really enjoys hanging out with people in a naturist environment, but she doesn't really enjoy, like, for example, the World Naked Bike Ride. She still doesn't feel comfortable being nude in public because she knows that it attracts a lot of attention of people who go there for the wrong reasons. So she feels like she doesn't want to be part of other people's entertainment.
Yes, unfortunately, I think, within a naturist community, people are very respectful. But on the outside world, it can be very difficult for women because they are objectified and perhaps seen as sexually promiscuous just because they're nude.
Yes, so we do have that problem here. And I've noticed that some years we have more or less women's participation. But in my opinion, I think it would be very helpful to do campaigns against harassment because it can be very uncomfortable if you decide to undress. People take pictures and record, and it gets a lot of unwanted attention.
So within your group, do you have a lot of mostly men? Do you have women? Do you have a balance? How is it?
So we try to keep a balance ratio, but I've found that it's pretty difficult to do that and also remain faithful to the values that naturism promotes, for example, being treated in an equal way. I've noticed, and I've read a little bit about this, that sometimes in the attempt to maintain the balance, we can fall into systematic practices that could be considered a discrimination for men or single men or, you know, et cetera. So we do have a pretty nice amount of women, but we do notice that for every woman that is interested in participating, we probably have 5 or 6 guys waiting to participate. So we definitely get much more male attention than we do female, but we're starting to work on strategies to revert that effect. And I think personally that creating an environment that is friendly to women and friendly to diversity, such as transgenders, people who are gay or bisexual or whatever, I think being open and inclusive can really help build an environment where women feel safe and comfortable. And I think that another way that we can do this is we can share with women, through women, the experience and the benefits and all the good things associated with practicing nudism. So we're working on it, but it's a work in progress.
And is your group mostly older, younger?
That's another interesting thing. I think it's hard to say because we have people from all the age groups. We have families that have children. We have people who are studying university, so we would be young adults. We have older people that are married or that, you know, we have, I think our youngest member is probably a couple years old, and our oldest member is maybe around 70 years old. So we have a pretty wide range of ages.
That's great. So it sounds like a good group. Are there many groups like yours?
There is several groups in Mexico. I think the thing that makes our group a little different is that, one, we are pretty inclusive. So we don't have any policies that would say that single men are not allowed, or we don't have policies that would charge different depending on if you're a man or a woman or a couple. So we're pretty inclusive and we're pretty open to anyone who wants to participate. Another thing that makes our group different is that we have a pretty nice level of organization. We have our group, we have a logo, we have rules, we have videos, we have, so we have a lot of communication strategies and a lot of things that give the group formality.
So can you find your group and other groups through the Mexican Federation? Would that be one way that people can find out about these events?
Well, up till now, what I wanted to do before we started advertising the group nationally or internationally is I really wanted to make sure that the local group was well organized and united and strong enough so we can start receiving other people. And also, I wanted to make sure that we had all these formalities that I mentioned before in order to give people confidence. And I also wanted to create certain procedures or ways of integrating people so we don't get overwhelmed. Sometimes we really, really, really focus on the quality more than the quantity. So we want to make sure that every person that comes understands what it's about, understands what behavior is expected, and feels safe and comfortable. So I think that we've reached a point where we can be advertised in the Federation. But if you search for us right now, I'm not sure if you'll be able to find it or not. But pretty soon, maybe by the time that this podcast is published or in a couple of weeks from now, you'd be able to find us in the Federation.
All right, so you're involved with the Federation, the Mexican Federation.
Yes, actually, the first edition of the meal at the restaurant downtown, we invited Juan Marcos. Juan Marcos is the president of the Federation, mm-hmm. and we established a very interesting, very good relationship. We agreed on a lot of things, and it turns out we have a lot in common. So I think that he's a close friend now. And he invited us to the Cipolita Festival. We had an awesome time. He included us in a lot of important events that were going on. So we could say that we're working pretty close to the Federation, and we have a lot of projects in common and a lot of things that we're planning on doing together.
So tell me about this Cipolita Festival. That was last year, I believe.
It was actually the Elan was last year in 2016.
Okay.
The Elan was the Latin American encounter that started the Cipolita Festival. So this would be the second edition that the Federation organizes, but it would be the first edition of the Cipolita Festival by itself. So this year, it was not a Latin American encounter. This year, it was just a local festival. And the festival took place from the 3rd to the 5th of February. And it was a pretty awesome event. And it was interesting because a couple of weeks before the festival, there wasn't really anything organized yet because there was a change in the local administration, local government. And this change made it really difficult for the organizers to get certain types of resources that they needed, permissions, stages, and so on. So Jair Flores was the main person in charge of organizing this. And it turned out to be an awesome exercise because the local government that just started office were very interested. So they're very, very interested in promoting nudism locally. So they see the importance and the potential that this has for tourism. And next year edition, is probably going to be much cooler because there's going to be so much more resources and activities and things going on because we have more time to plan it. And we also have the support of the local government and also the support within the local business community was also pretty, pretty fabulous.
So this is an annual event now. And is this something that would be good for people from outside Mexico to come and participate in?
I think this would be the best event for people outside Mexico to participate in, because it's open to the general public, so anyone could participate in. And also, Sipolite is a pretty it's a small rural beach, but it's visited very internationally. So most of the tourism that it gets, it's from other countries. And also, it's important to mention that Sipolite has been around since 1969. So since 1969, it has been recognized as a clothing optional or a nudist optional beach. Oh. At least not formally, but informally, we would get a lot of hippies and a lot of people, surfers and things, that would go to Sipolite to bathe in the nude.
So it's on the ocean. It's a beach, I assume. Yes.
Yes, it's a beach.
And are there places for people to stay in the area? Is it a resort area?
So it's pretty rural, but they do have a lot of hotels, and a lot of the hotel industry is growing. So it's not like a big fancy five-star hotel, Holiday Inn or Hilton or something like that. But it's very – I think it's a very good place to get away from busy city life and just sit back and relax. There's a lot of small family-administered hotels. You can camp. You can rent hammocks. And it's pretty laid back.
Are any of them open to being close free, or is it just on the beach?
So this is something that we're working on, and this is something that we got a pretty good response this year. What happens is Sipolite, since nudism in Mexico has been a taboo and sometimes an unknown subject, they felt that they hadn't been attracting as many tourists as they'd want to. So some of the people in the community were trying to push a little bit so Sipolite would stop being a nude beach. When the Federation found out that this was going on, they decided to organize the Elan there. And it was such a great success that the local government and also the several businessmen are starting to turn and see that nudism is a pretty good option for tourism. And the more that we convince them of this, the more places that allow nudism within their installations, within the hotel. Right now, there's a couple. I don't want to be unfair and say the names of the places, because I don't want to, you know, maybe someone will get upset for me advertising. But there is a couple of hotels that are really, really cool that I would recommend that you can go to, and you can remain nude within the hotel and also at the beach. And most of them, it's only at the beach.
So if people are interested in participating, how would they find out where to go and what to do?
Well, I could leave my personal contact for information, or they could contact the Federation, or they could Google it. Google has a lot of information where they can just find nude-friendly hotels at Sipolite. I'm pretty sure that they can easily find something like that. Or I can also give the contact of the person who is – he's an administrator of a hotel that is nude friendly. And also he's also the head of the local businessmen in charge of hotels and motels of the region. So he can give pretty good recommendations.
So I will put links to all those things in the show notes. So on the website, so people can go directly to contact you. So if contacting, obviously they can contact your group in English without any problem. If is the Federation able to communicate in other languages other than Spanish?
Yeah, I think Juan Marcos understands English and can type English. He can read it and everything. I'm not sure how his spoken English is. He might I think he can, I mean, he could sustain a conversation, so I don't think there would be much problem. But whatever they prefer, if they want to get in contact with me, I have no problem with translating if it's necessary.
And you mentioned the Ilan a few times. Can you tell me what that was about?
So the Ilan is an international Latin American encounter that takes place every 2 years. And each year they choose a different country in Latin America. What was interesting was that in 2014, the secretary of the Federation, his name is Gerardo Cisneros, he went to the 2014 Ilan, and he was able to convince the countries that are members of the Ilan that it would be cool for them to have an edition in Mexico. So it seems that they all liked the idea, and they decided to organize the sixth edition in Zipolite, Oaxaca, and that took place in 2016.
And how big is it?
In that occasion, I actually didn't have the opportunity to participate, but I believe that it was a pretty big event because they had different countries, different federations that were in the organization and also participated. And we also had some of local participation. I do believe, though, that the 2017 edition, the Zipolite Festival, had more people. And what Juan Marcos told me that he really enjoyed about it is that more people were trying nudism for the first time. And also, we got more national tourists. I think that in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, there was more international tourists.
That's great. So what do you think is the future for naturism in Mexico?
Well, it's really hard to say, but I think that we are in a big area of opportunity. Based on my experience, I think naturism in Mexico is such an unknown topic. Traditionally, we associate nudity with sexuality, but there has never been at a big scale a movement that promotes social nudity. So I think that every time you mention nudism, and that's why we've chose nudism over naturism, because they know it has to do with nudity, but they don't really understand it. So there's a lot of questions, and they seem to be very receptive to the idea. And with the local promotion that I've done, I noticed that a lot of people agree with the idea. It's just that they have to overcome personal obstacles that don't allow them to participate. But I think socially, we are at a stage where people are open to new ideas and lifestyles.
Sounds good. Sounds like there's a good opportunity and a good future potentially for development and growth of naturism in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. I also want to mention something else, Stefan. The strategy that we have used to promote naturism has been based on an alternative way of seeing humans and seeing people and bodies and nudity. Socially, we have a lot of problems with harassment. We have a lot of problems with discrimination. We have a lot of body shaming. We have a lot of people that don't accept themselves and that, you know, decide to go through plastic surgeries and, you know, just a lot of negative effects that have been caused due to the way that we perceive our body. So I think that what we've been trying to do and what has given us a good response is to promote it as an alternative way of living that somehow corrects or changes some of these negative phenomenons that have been generated by the way that we perceive ourselves and other people. And I think by promoting these values of being open and acceptant, respectful, tolerant, etc., people see the value behind it. So it's not just a fun place where you can enjoy nudity. There's also a big social importance behind it. And I think that the more that you mention that, the more that people are aware of it, the more value they see in it.
Well, hopefully we'll hear from Hector again as things keep developing in Mexico and perhaps as he comes and visits us here in Canada at some point. But for now, that's all for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. Thank you, as always, for listening. Again, my name is Stéphane Deschaine, and I'm your host for the podcast. And I make the show with a lot of help from Sean Mitchell, who makes the task so much easier by doing all the time-consuming editing. You can find links to all the items that were mentioned in the episode in the show notes, which is on the website at naturistliving.bareoaks.ca, because we are in Canada. Please keep sending your comments and suggestions. I always appreciate getting them. As you heard, we had some comments from Neil, so love to have some more recorded comments. All you have to do is call country code 1-905-473-6060, or if you're in the U.S. and Canada, you can call toll-free 1-888-373-9124, or you can even Skype us for free from anywhere in the world. Our Skype name is Bear Oaks, and all of those numbers will get you into the phone system, and the show's extension for the Naturist Living Show is extension 333. So call and leave a comment. You can take as many tries as you want, and you can even delete it if you're not happy at the end. So there's no rush. There's no stress. Just take your time. Record something. Can't promise I'll use it, but I'll probably will. So just record something interesting, and I'd love to include it in the show. I hope you enjoy this episode and that you'll join us again for the next episode of the Naturist Living Show.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park, traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social, and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bareoaks.ca.